Word becoming flesh and living on us on this earth, what does that mean for me? What am I going to do about that? How am I celebrating that for those who see the good news in it? What am I doing about that? So, here's what we're going to do today to mark the beginning of Advent. If you are sitting alone, I'm going to ask you to move and go and sit with somebody. If you are sitting with other people, with somebody else, I'd like to ask you for the next couple of minutes, share with the person near you what it is you are doing to prepare to celebrate the birth of your Savior. If he's not yet your Savior, what are you doing to think and reflect on the coming of Jesus onto this earth, what it means to you? So for a couple of minutes, let's have a quick chit-chat. Just share. What are you doing to prepare for Christmas? The candle of hope. So are you gonna be lighting candles for us from now on, starting today? No, there are no candles. Maybe that light needs to be switched on. Can you try and go and switch it on and see? That's great vision you got there. Hallelujah. So, you saw somebody who was inspired by God right now. You saw a come and stand up front here to say, this is what often happens in many of many Christian churches. Starting this Sunday for the next four Sundays, they'll be lighting different candles. The candle of hope, love, peace, and joy. And then on Christmas Day, the fifth candle, the candle of the life of Jesus, is also lit on Christmas Day. So I just believe that we should do that. We should start. We missed today, but we can light two candles next Sunday. Somebody please be inspired to make sure that happens. One of the best things you can do, I pray that all the godly things that you're planning to do, that you've shared with your friends, that they will come through to fruition. One of the best things to do, and if you've already said this, keep it up, do that. One of the best things that you could do to prepare for Christmas is to study the Word of God and understand what God is saying to you, to us, to those you love at this particular time in life. So for those of you who remember, we are going through the book of Luke. We are going to pause the series, the chapter 13, and go back to start looking at the Advent season. But then we realized and saw the passage that we are about to read, that it fits in well for us to reflect on the life of Jesus. So we are reading today from Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 from verse 22 to 30. Luke chapter 13 from verse 22 to 30. And for those of you who are paying attention to this, we will do this, and then we would, for the next few Sundays, we will be looking at the birth of Jesus, the Advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus through His birth. And next year, we'll go back to carrying on with the Luke's Gospel. Listen to what God says to us. Luke chapter 13 from verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." The word of God for the people of God. Brothers and sisters, this is God's word for us today. I pray that we take it as such. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to understand your word, Lord. We have read your word. We know, Lord, that you love us, you care for us. In your love and care for us, please give us proper understanding of your word. And as we understand your word, Lord, please give us the power to do what your word tells us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there it is. Jesus was doing this, seems to be to have been doing this quite a lot, walking through the villages, teaching and doing different things. And then we are told on this particular day, someone, we are not told whether it's a man, a woman, but someone asks this question: are only a few people going to be saved? We don't know why the person raised that question. We don't know what had happened for the person to raise that question. There's speculation. People can imagine all sorts of things. But if you want to speculate from the word of God, and you say, you know what, maybe a person who understood, who knew what God says in his word, maybe he was worried as he's seeing what this Jesus is doing. He remembered during the time of the flood, only one family, only a few people were saved. It could be he was imagining that or other things. So he says, "Lord, please tell me, are only a few going to be saved?" And Jesus seems to quietly say to him, that's not your concern. That question, that issue you are raising is not, should not be your primary concern. The way Jesus answers is, in a way, Jesus is saying, your primary concern should be, will I be saved? Am I getting in? Will I be able to get in? In other words, Jesus says, be concerned about, are you going to make it? So Jesus says, I'm telling you, you should strive, do your best to get in. Do your best to get in, because there will be many that will not be able to get in. So I just want to highlight four things that come from this story. Four things that I would highlight. He says the issue that you should concern yourself primarily with is, will I be saved? I'm telling you, the way to be saved is you've got to walk in through the door that is opened for you. You have to walk in into the kingdom of God. The number one thing that is brought out, brothers and sisters, is that there is a door that's opened, but it is narrow. There is a door that is opened for your salvation, for you to be saved, but it is narrow. Just that one thing alone, we could spend the whole day here just celebrating and thinking about it. This door that is opened, it is opened by God for you to be saved. But it is narrow. And that is where a lot of people have a problem with. The fact that God, Jesus says, it is narrow, this door. Because many, and it goes on to say, you know, it is so narrow. Many will try to get in, they will fail. Not simply because there's no space, but because they don't like the idea that this door is narrow. They prefer the wider road, the wider doors, the gate. You know, particularly this day and age, many people you talk to, they will say to you, when you're saying, you know, I'm celebrating Christmas because that is how our salvation came. And they will say to you, yeah, you know what? I also celebrate Christmas. I also celebrate the coming of Jesus. But you know, there are other ways as well. And if you say, you know what? This door that is open is narrow. There's only one way. Jesus is saying there's only one way to get to the Father, to get into salvation. They will say to you, don't be so narrow-minded. Christians, that's why I don't like Christians, because they're so narrow-minded. If you haven't heard that, you will hear that. But next time you hear that, I just, or you believe that is being narrow-minded to say Jesus is the way to the Father, Jesus is the narrow door that we should get into salvation with. Maybe you are thinking that's being narrow-minded. I want to say to you, if you and I were just sitting down and just us, I would say you are being psychotic. If you think that when a person says this is the only way that that is provided, that's being narrow-minded. Because in life, many of us know that there is order in the world because of narrow-mindedness. Let me show you a couple of things. Can you imagine if the traffic lights were always green on everybody? And everybody could just be driving through whenever they feel like it. But we have to be narrow-minded and say, you stop so that somebody else can go. You could say, you know what? Come on, man. Be open-minded. Allow me to do the things that I do. There are things in life that we know we are safe when you keep just one option, you know, for, you know, those like Ant probably will be flying away to go and celebrate Christmas somewhere. Can you imagine if you're on a plane and the pilot says, guys, welcome, you know, we will take off, you know, they're telling me to stop, to wait for the other, you know, the traffic control is trying to stop me, but, you know, I'm so open-minded, I do what I want, let me, you know, when you're landing, the pilot says, oh, they said we should land on this channel, but no, I'm gonna be open-minded, I will do what I feel like doing. You will say, please be narrow-minded. Please stick to this way that saves us. People say don't be narrow-minded, be open-minded, because they want to treat important issues of life the way they treat buying bread in shops. Oh, you know what? I like bread from Pick n Pay. No, I like from OK. When I'm in there, I like my bread brown, or I like my bread whole wheat. I like my... So Jesus should be that way. And Jesus says, I'm telling you now, it's narrow. The door that's open is narrow. And I'll come back to showing you why this is important and why the narrow is important and why it is challenging. But I want to tell you the number two thing is, he says this door is not going to be open forever. And this is where Ant needs to go and encourage his friend that, yes, we can joke about this thing, but this door is not going to be open forever. And you say to me, Pastor, we are in Advent season. We are thinking about Christmas. Don't scare us. You know, if I have to do that to scare you to get in through this door, that's what Jesus says. He says, strive to get into the, agonize to get in through this door. You need this salvation. You need to get in, but the door will be closed one day. And you got no idea when. Brothers and sisters, if I tell you anything else, I am trying to please you and I am kidding you. Jesus makes it clear there's gonna come a time when you will say, I wish I had another opportunity, when he closes the door. The door will not be open forever. Decide now to walk in through this door, to come to Jesus, to get salvation. Decide this Christmas. Celebrate this Christmas in a different way. Celebrate this Christmas by saying, you know what? I want an encounter with this Jesus, and relate to this Jesus, and walk with this Jesus, and love, and be in love with this Jesus. Because he says when he closes the door, he will say, I don't know you. I don't even know where you come from. You will say, oh, but I was in church every... You know what? Pastor Paul was entertaining us in church every Sunday. We'll be there and we'll be thinking, you know, I'll be... And Jesus says, you know, he says, when the door is closed, he will say, I don't know you. I don't know where you come from. Stay out there. And on that day, there will be a different kind of agony and pain. The door is not going to be open all the time. So that is scary news, right? But there's good news. He says, number three, he says it's open for anyone. The invitation is open for all. East, west, north, south. It is open for everybody. Black, white, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, male, female, young, old. It's open for everybody. The door is open for everybody. Jesus tells us, you know what? It's open for everybody. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is a challenge for us, because many of us would prefer for the door to be open only for those that I like, the people that I I enjoy. But Jesus says, it's open for everybody. This door is open for everybody, from India, from Africa, from America, from Europe, you name it. It is open for those people that get on your nerves. It is open for everybody. Even as you pause to think about Christmas, and you've got memories, and you think, oh, my Christmas was spoiled by so and so, I can't stand that person. The door is open for that person as well. Jesus says it is open for everybody. You know what that means? You better learn to love everybody. You better learn to forgive. You better learn to get along with people. Because Jesus says, you know what? When that day comes, when he closes the door, can you imagine? He closes the door. The person you could not stand on this earth is your neighbor, who says to you, hey, hello, I'm allowed in. And you look at them and you say, you? I thought it was only for black people. You are white and you are here. And Jesus says it's open for everybody. I thought it was only for whites or for men only. Jesus says there's no male nor female. It's open for everybody. The number four, last aspect, is Jesus is the door. Hallelujah. Jesus is the door. He is the narrow door by which we should be saved. You know, you don't get it in that passage, but you read John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the gate, I am the door. Whoever comes in through me will be saved. And people will say, what are you saying about Buddha, about Muhammad, about Hare Krishna, about, and you name it. And Jesus says, you know what? Many will say, please let us in. And they will be crying. And I'll say, I don't know you. Because this is why this door is narrow. Brothers and sisters, firstly, let me just say, well, I'm not worried about the fact that it is narrow. I am rejoicing that God made a way for us to be saved. That God made a way for us to be saved. And this is where the narrowness comes from. Because it is the owner of the house, the owner of the kingdom, the owner of salvation is the one who opens the door. And the one who opens the door tells us, I open this door and this is the way you will get saved. When you get home, go and study this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9. God tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, but from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It is a gift from God. And that is where the problem is. Because many of us prefer that, I wish it was from me, my way. I wish it was Muhammad, so that Muhammad could boast. I wish it was Buddha, so that Buddha could boast. I wish it was from a human, a creature, from our perspective, so that we could boast. And this is what we are looking for constantly. Even when we come to worship God, we start bragging about, you are not as good Christian as I am. You know that? You know, people will start looking at one another and say, you know, that one is not as born again as I am, because you know what? I am the one who's got the right idea. If it was dependent on us opening the door, we would be boasting and having pride over one another. But God says,
I provided the way. The way comes from God. What is required of you is to trust God, to have faith in God. It's enough for you to believe in Jesus. And that's how narrow it is.
Not to believe in your power, in your strength, in your ability, or in another creature's power, ability, strength.
No. What is required is for you to say, God, before I was conceived in my mother's womb, you knew me. You had a plan for my life. You knew me and you cared for me and you provided for me. You knew my weaknesses. You knew that I will get it wrong. And when I get it wrong, you provided a way.
And the way is Jesus. You know, all these other religions will be, you know, these great leaders will be saying, come to me, I will show you the light. Jesus comes and says, I'm the light. They'll say, I'll show you the way to live your life. Jesus comes and says, I am the way. Come to me, I'll teach you the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. I'll show you the door. Jesus says, I am the gate and the door. All the others are you working on human effort. And human effort is what we all rush to. All of us, many of us, prefer that I wish, you know, through my human effort, you know, God is going to answer my prayer. There are Christians that say, you know why? And I say to you, why do you believe God is going to answer your prayer? You know, Pastor, because I am this good. I don't sin. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I have my prayer time for about an hour. And I'm doing all these things. It is not from you. It is not your effort. It is Jesus from start to finish. The grace of God and your faith in God. Am I saying don't do those things? No, when you enter through that door and he shows you this life, this amazing life, you will say, what is better than the hope that I get in Jesus? What is better than the love I get in Jesus? What is better than the goodness of God? I want it in my life. I want it to show in my life. I want to live that out. Because then I told you, Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, you read verse 10. God says you are his workmanship, that to do good works that is already prepared, that are already prepared in Christ Jesus for you. But many will say, you know, it is really dependent on my effort, on my ability, on my doing things. Brothers and sisters, there is a door that is open, and that door is Jesus. Walk through that door. Come to Jesus. Walk with Jesus. If you are already with Jesus, walk with Jesus, because that's where your salvation lies. That is where your salvation is. It is Jesus. Seek to please Jesus in your life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.